Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's the Afternoon Drive with Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin on Cleveland's Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
The show is back. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We are Afternoon Drive, and the Cleveland Browns still don't want to talk to you. We've got Jax Gregory today on the board.
Yes.
We've got Jake Murren, man in the YouTube channel. As always, you guys can watch us live all 5 hours on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel. We, and also Jake is producing. We've got Matt Corelli, the big cheese, on the 2020s all show long. Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. How are you?
I just had an Uncrustable, so I am divine.
Oh, that's good. I had like two bananas and one of those multi-grain bars.
Look at that.
Less divine than you, I guess. Yeah. But it's fine. It's okay.
The best part about a PB&J sandwich is you get a little bit of that sugar, and Daddy likes his sugar,
yeah.
And you get a little bit of that protein. So you really get a full push right there.
Uncrustables are great. I think we can all agree on that. PB&Js in general are great. I switched for my Amish housekeeper that comes once every 2 weeks. She's now in the PB&J world instead of the turkey and mustard world.
I thought you got rid of Anna Yoder, and I was very worried.
I threw her a curveball, gave her a PB&J this week because it's all we had. And then I had to follow up and be like, was the PB&J okay? Was that okay? I felt like I'm trying to serve the person that comes and cleans my house. I don't know why.
One of these days, Elise is going to catch on to Anna, the Amish housekeeper, and you're going to have to find a new one. You have to get a little old, maybe a cat, a crazy cat lady to become.
She's going to find one of her Hungarian nugmamas, and then they're going to come over, and that's going to be the cleaner.
You are not ready for that. They will boss you around.
This one already bosses me around anyway, too.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, that's about you.
I'm also in a house with I'm in a house with three girls. You're in a house with four girls. I'm just kind of used to it at this point.
Oh, see, no, I keep up the good fight, which is why I don't like sleep well all the time because, you know, they like to keep you on your toes. Oh, by the way, I'd just like to point out Andrew Berry not speaking today. Just real quick, before we get to anything, the guy who orchestrated two trades and left Kevin Stefanski out there to rot, the guy who clearly is part of an abhorrent roster construction, not going to talk today. So just a reminder, if you were hoping to hear from one half of the Thought Partners this fall on CBS, the answer is no. No for you. You get no Andrew Berry, and you will like it.
I hope this just means he's working on something.
Like a resume?
Yeah, get your LinkedIn resume all figured out.
Listen, LinkedIn.
He's trying to figure out his job applications.
The networking capabilities with that kind of interface, really. I mean, when you've got that kind of resume, you went to Ivy League, you've got options there.
It would be really funny if, like, NFL GMs, when they were done, if they just couldn't find jobs and they just ended up being like sales guys. Working just
like what
just,
kind of
just,
sales
just,
guy?
Just, like they, just normal run of the mill sales guy. And you went from like, you know, Andrew Berry being a GM of a football team to then trying to, I don't know, pitch ads on a local radio station.
Oh, I see. I was thinking more like Andrew Berry tries to get you to buy a 2002 Honda Civic with 225,000 miles on it that's only been wrecked once.
So the problem is that I think we both know everyone that is part of the Thought Partners would all stink at being salesmen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of frustrating for a lot of fans. We want them to say, sell us this pen, okay? Sell me this pen. They can't do it. They never seem to be able to do it.
I like the idea that the sales pitch on a used Honda Civic, about 2002, 225,000 miles or more, only one accident, is just, I'm smarter than you. That's why you should buy this car. Because I think that's essentially what the whole vibe of the Browns organization is. And now, by the way,
you should see the processing systems on these cars.
Guys, this one's got a supercomputer from 1998.
You just leave the from 1998 part out of
this. No, you just say it really quietly. This one's got a supercomputer from 1998.
It's all about selling you things that you can't actually see.
Yeah. Process, not results.
That's what I'm saying. It's all about selling you things you can't actually see and then just making it try to be believable.
Now, while we're talking about crappy processes and crappy results, no, it's a great process. It just leads to crappy results. Obviously, yesterday we talked about Myles Garrett and how unhappy Miles seemed to be after the latest loss. And I had said some of that felt performative, but that if Miles wants to make a change, I think he can. I think Miles is the $40 million man. I think they showed by valuing paying him instead of trading him that he has at least some say here or some part of what maybe their ear. I thought it was interesting then after that discussion that we had yesterday. And Miles and his frustration, Mary Kay Cabot was on with the Midday Boys, Andy and Jeff and Dan. Today, no Andy. It was just Jeff and Dan.
Andy was in the mornings.
Yeah, it was also really good. You should listen to that too, but after our show.
He was with Daryl.
We got a lot of information here. But they asked Mary Kay about Miles Garrett's frustration. Mary Kay had some interesting things to say.
Miles is very, very, very frustrated, and he's having arguably the best season of his career. And so he's long talked and wanted, you know, talked about wanting to win championships and go to the playoffs and all those things. And here he is stuck on a team that appears to be going nowhere this season. And that's tough for him to take. I think in the offseason, he's going to have some assurances that things are going to be different and why they're going to be different and how they're going to be different. I haven't looked at the economics of it, but I don't even know if it's possible or feasible to trade him after paying him all the guaranteed money that they already have. But I do think that he will want some acknowledgement that something's got to give for next season and that there's going to be some victories coming, or he's going to want, I don't know if he would ever ask to be traded again or whatever, but he's not going to be able to continue on like this and maintain his sanity.
So does he just want, hey, we know we suck?
Does he want another, hey, we have a quarterback plan?
Or, you know, there are a couple players making more money than him. Would $50 million make Miles happy to go 3-14 next year?
I bet it would.
Yeah.
I bet it would. So the hard part about this discussion is that I feel like Miles doesn't have nearly the leverage that even Miles thinks he has in this. Because when you balk 6 weeks into what you did last year, all you did was tell everybody that basically you're not serious about a real threat of not playing.
I agree, but I do think what's interesting is he does have a lot of public sentiment right now of, oh, poor Myles Garrett. Like, there were multiple national media members reacting to the 5-sack game and going, woe is Miles, even if he didn't. And while acknowledging, by the way, he just signed the $40 million a year contract.
I guess we got to figure out what his new end goal is. Is his new end goal to get out of town? Because if his new end goal is to get out of town and get traded this offseason, he's got to do it a lot different than what he did this last year.
Okay, how would that look?
It would be like actually threatening. It would be doing the Micah Parsons. It would be going on not only your own world media tour and hosting your own podcast and doing all that stuff, but it would be taking it up to the season to then get traded. Hey, but I think Miles doesn't want to miss games. The heart of this is Miles knows he's in his prime. Miles knows these are the years you stack up DPOY cases and get yourself into Canton. And I just don't think he wants to actually miss games.
So from a cap side of things, trading Miles would be darn near impossible given what they just paid it.
It's really not, though. This is why I don't understand this logic that people put out there. Like it's very doable. In a trade in a post June 1st trade, so you have to wait until June 1st, mm-hmm. you can do a Myles Garrett trade. It would be $15 million in dead cap money, followed by $11 million the next year, and then it decreases and decreases to a point that is extremely manageable. So $15 million in dead cap is like a third of what you had to pay Deshaun Watson next season in dead cap money. Like it is very, very shockingly manageable. The only out you have is you have to wait until after June 1st. There's a couple of designations you can do prior to June 1st to make it retroactive, but it's got to be a post-June 1st trade designation. It is very possible.
Look at that. All the other cap analysts say it's not doable, though.
I don't understand what they're not looking at. I don't get it. I really don't. It's all right there. It's public knowledge. Unless there's a different contract that over the cap isn't working with, then I don't understand it. Like I'd love to know who your other capologist is that says this outside of Daryl.
No. I think it was the throngs of people saying they just signed into a contract and they can't.
Yeah, no, it's very doable. Like, it's very, very doable.
Like clownitudes. Now, yes. This being said...
Like you can. If you want out of this, you can do it.
Listen, I don't blame you if your initial reaction to this is, oh, Miles wants assurances, he won them last year, and then he got $40 million. I understand. I called for yesterday, for Miles, to use his power within the organization, that you don't just have to ask for another trade. If you think Stefanski and Barry are about to get fired, and you...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I believe one or both of them are the right guys to lead this organization. Use your power to say that internally. Right? Externally is one thing. Do it internally as well. You don't have to choose one or the other, because if you choose just the public side of things and not do it privately, that feels more performative than reality. Also, if you feel like one or either guy isn't it and they're why you're in the situation, use your power both externally and internally to say that. I'm going to say this could be part of Miles doing that, one half of Miles saying, hey, just so you know, at some point, there's going to be a reckoning. I have to have a conversation with people in charge.
I mean, the advantage of what Miles did this last time around was he got himself a no-trade clause. That was very smart of Miles because it sets it up where they can't just trade him to any, you know, run-of-the-mill team and basically make sure that his life is miserable because a three-win team wants Miles Garrett on the roster and they're going to pony up three first-round picks. That was smart of Miles. But this next go-around, if he wants to be on a different team, like, he can have that opportunity. And, like, this conversation is not going anywhere, I don't think, Nick.
So I think part of the acknowledgement he's really looking for is he wants to have his voice heard internally, potentially on Barry and Stefanski. I don't know he can pass the whole give me another quarterback plan next year and then I'll okay it because he okayed Flacco, Kenny Pickett, and these two quarterbacks that you currently have in your roster.
Or he okayed them just being like, hey, we have a plan. Just tell everyone we have a plan.
Hey.
Can you just do that? Can you tell Siciliano we have a plan?
We'll give you 40 a year. If you just let people know we've got a real concept of a plan going on here.
And give us that smirk when you do it, too.
Give it like you really know something. Like you really, really know something.
You get a lot of people really thinking he actually knew like a plan when it's so obvious they had no plan.
I mean, in fairness, a lot of people took Jimmy Haslam's vote of confidence from the owner's meeting as like an ironclad oath that Kevin Stefanski isn't going anywhere. And then 24 hours later, they were like, what are we doing?
Do I think that Miles has enough power to sway Jimmy Haslam to fire DePodesta, Stefanski, and Barry? I don't think he does at this point.
Why not?
We have no evidence to suggest that he does. Like Jimmy Haslam to this point, and it could change. I hope it changes. To this point, has been lockstep with those three that we're talking about to a point where he has favored their opinions, their everything, over what Miles has been able to offer up.
Then I think if you're Miles, then you have to. It's basically an ultimatum. Either we see change within this, and again, I'm assuming that that's what Miles is going to want, because I think Miles is smart enough to go, well, you moved on from Baker, you moved to Deshaun Watson, it's the worst trade. By the way, all Miles would be doing is using logic. That's what kills me, is there are so many people defending Barry and Stefanski, and they made the worst trade in NFL history.
Yeah.
That's as if it was just like, well, yeah, that happens. No, it doesn't. No. Guys get fired for doing incredibly big things that don't work out. That's the downside of this damn thing.
That's why most people don't actually take big swings, is because the understood repercussion of that is that you're going to get fired. You're going to lose your job.
And I just...
You'll have to update the LinkedIn resume.
But, like, I think Miles has to go to them and say, if whatever he wants. If he wants continuity, then he needs to fight for it. If he wants change, then he needs to fight
but
for
that's
it.
That's the hard
and
part, though.
There has to be an or else attached to
it. I don't even know that Miles knows what he wants. He just wants to win. Like, I think he understands he wants to win, but I don't think Miles is like, here's my blueprint. This is how we should go about winning, and you have to orchestrate this. I think Miles is frustrated, but I think Miles is like, I don't. That's your job. Your job is to figure out how to win. Ultimately, I want to win. And at this point for the Browns, it's just easier said than done. It's very hard to get a quarterback. It's very hard to make this all work.
I don't think it's that hard. Well, sorry, no, that's not fair. It's obviously hard
to win
for this organization. But I think it's obvious. I think you've done the analytics thing. And again, it's not analytics. It's analytics to the nth degree that it's the end-all, be-all. You've done that. Now get me some football people. Like, okay, look at me. I'm playing the best football of my career under Jim Schwartz, a football guy. Find me a head coach that's not Jim Schwartz, that is like Jim Schwartz. Find me a GM who's like Jim Schwartz, a guy who is football first and then uses analytics to supplement the decision instead of analytics run every damn decision you make.
I just think he's looking at this quarterback class coming up, and I think he's seeing that there's no quick fix. There's no easy answer, and I think he's frustrated at the idea that they went into that press conference. I'll never forget Andrew Berry saying, this isn't baseball. You don't need 5 years to turn this thing around. It's not baseball. You can do this quick. And now, as we're staring at everything, it looks like this is going to be a multi-year plan in order to try to get some semblance of winning. And I think Miles is very frustrated, as he should be.
I get it.
I'm frustrated, too.
I get it. You can't hold their words against them if they just don't talk. Thought partners. Yeah.
That is part of the idea. Well, again, there's people like me that I remember things that Andrew Berry says, and then I throw him back in his face. If he never talks, I got nothing. I can't say anything about DePodesta. The man never speaks.
Hey, guys. I know. Every day, you put your hard-earned money into that team. Don't worry, they're smarter than you, and now they're ignoring you. Thought partners! Yeah!
What's the Reagan?
I am not
thing?
A crook.
Yeah.
This is our Watergate.
But then you followed up with like with water guns or something. I don't.
These were not water guns. These were.
Oh, those are pistols, huh?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Because that's what thought partners do. All right. They got those toy cap guns. They play. I don't know what the hell they do. I just know they don't make good football decisions. But don't worry. They're not talking today. They're not talking this week. They're not talking next week either. Except you, Kevin Stefanski. You can twist in the wind, son.
They probably turn around. Yesterday,
leadership.
We talked about Vanessa telling you basically, well, you're just better at it than I am. Yeah. That's their conversations. They just turn to Stefanski. Well, you're just better at not saying anything than we are.
Yeah.
So we'll just keep throwing you out there. That's going to work. You're just better at it than we are.
Thought partners. We're talking about Mary Kay Cabot's comments on Myles Garrett. And that kind of builds on Myles' dissatisfaction that was evident in the helmet throw, in the sitting on the bench by himself. Then it's interesting, until you brought up the numbers that a post-June 1 trade for Myles actually would be bearable for the Browns, I actually think that gives Myles a little bit more leverage in this. Because there was a part of me that's like, well, I mean, I think people saw the if they cut him number, which is like, I think, $90 million.
Yeah, it's an insanely high number,
and
yeah.
And thought, well, he doesn't have any leverage because they couldn't possibly stomach that when they're already thinking about stomaching the Deshaun Watson stuff and whether to cut him or whatever. I think Myles having an out with, well, it's not that bad if you trade me after June 1, I think it gives him even more power. I think he should. I think if he is really not happy with this, I don't know what they can tell him. Like, there's only so many ways you get a quarterback, but do I think Myles should be, do I think that's what a leader does? Not just publicly do this stuff, but do it internally? Yes. So I encourage Myles to do.
If they did trade him, wouldn't it be on the idea that they couldn't offer up any plan of actually winning? And then it was like, or it was even just a longer term plan that maybe Myles was comfortable with. Like, if they traded him, we would have to be set up for 2-3 years before we start to see any sort of fruits of labor payoff.
Maybe even more.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like for our own personal selves, for the people listening, for you, for me, if they traded him, that is disastrous for us watching competitive football.
And here's the thing. I don't want to trade Myles. I actually, the shame of it is he's missed the moment to break scot free with the Browns. Because I think there were a lot of people that would have supported him in his trade request back in January. I was one of them. I understood. I felt for Myles. And then we did the settling for $40 million. I think it's a lot more complicated now. I think it would complicate his legacy to force them this time to trade him this offseason as opposed to last offseason. It doesn't mean he shouldn't do it. I don't want to trade him. But I understand if he gets to a point where they're not going to listen to him or they're not going to have a path to competitiveness. If he says, I'm going to be 30 next year, Micah Parsons just did this, and maybe that renews his interest in, or maybe he saw a way now that that Micah did it, that he can now do it.
Only thing I find fascinating is how extreme is he willing to take this?
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know that answer because he didn't take it to the extreme last time. And I remember the day before Myles signed the extension and decided to stay, it was a Friday, and Aditi Kinkabwala had this whole, it was a tweet, and then I went with it, the idea that Myles is just, he's just a different cat, right? Like, he could do his poetry, he could just spend time in Asia, and it just wouldn't really bother him, and he could just kind of be away from football for a little bit. And then within 24 hours later, he just completely disproved that. And so, like, even if you try to come at me with some of those narratives, like, oh, Myles is serious about it this time, he's going to miss games, I already fell for the banana in the tailpipe. Like, I'm not going to do that again.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Again,
I think this time, because last time they had Barry back, they had Stefanski back. Assuming that one way or another, you can't really sell it to Miles. Even if you bring both guys back, you can't sell it that anything's going to change. I think the Browns, I thought they owed it to him in January to take his request seriously, and I think they owe it to him now. At some point, and money's fine. Clearly, money for Miles at $40 million a year was enough to at least sign up for one more year. At some point, this organization that screams all the time how, oh, we got to do right by this player and we got to do right. If Miles is truly that unhappy, at some point, you got to do right by Miles, even if I hate the end result, because I sure as hell don't trust that organization, no matter who's in charge, to make the picks and get it right.
That's a funny point. They're very quick to be we're the good guy organization until it's a player or person that actually matters of consequence.
Yep.
You know, like they're very quick to be like, oh, we did it right. And then let's tell everyone how right we did by them until it's someone like Miles. And it just doesn't equate the same way.
So we referenced this at the end of yesterday's show. It was Connor Orr and Albert Breer together on the MMQB podcast talking about the fallout of Miles's 5-sack performance, his disenchantment with the Cleveland Browns, and maybe what the Browns should do.
By the time you get to the point where you're competing for a championship again, what's Myles Garrett going to have left is my question. He turns 30 in December. I don't know that the timelines match up. And so then the question becomes, are you better off just trading him now? And maybe you get 2 first-round picks for him. And now all of a sudden, you're going to have 5 first-round picks over the next 2 years, like an insane haul. If you're Detroit or Buffalo, would you trade for him right now?
I mean, yeah, all across the board, right?
Yeah, I think this is where the thing could go if you don't give him whatever assurances he's want. Listen, they should trade him if that's what Miles wants, because it's doing right by Miles. Especially if you think the next 2 years are bupkis as well. If you don't think there's a quarterback that can change your fortunes in 2026 draft, then you are going to have to go a longer road, at which point, like, it makes more sense to trade him just the way it made sense to trade him in January, by the way.
Yeah, again, where the timelines don't match up, and Albert's right there about the timelines not matching up, is the idea that if they're going to try to sell him that they're going to be awesome next year, find me the quarterback. Where's that coming from?
Yeah.
You know, unless Shador is just awesome and is great, and we haven't even seen him be able to play. Well, you know, like, you don't have that in your hands right now, and it doesn't seem like you're going to get that through the draft at this current point.
Yeah, and I just think, like, this is just such a sign at how bad these guys, and this is why, like, we were sounding the alarms in January. I'm not trying to do I Was Right radio, but like,
it was our favorite type of radio,
and we're really good at it.
We really
guys.
Like it a lot.
But like,
other shows just move away from it. Like it.
Well, because here's the thing: we'll also tell you when we were wrong. It never happens, but we tell you when we were wrong. But I like this. To me, is why when the organization told you boldface, "Hey, don't worry. We're, you know, it doesn't take 5 years to rebuild. Mm-hmm. We've got a plan. We have concepts of a plan. Jimmy Haslam came out and spoke glowingly. This is why you cannot trust them." And I don't mean this in like a heavy-handed way. They want you to keep buying tickets to games. They want you to keep buying jerseys. And they're not going to come out and say anything that is going to disrupt that, especially with a stadium on the way. All right? So Clearly, keeping Miles here was a way to satiate fans while also understanding, yeah, the season's probably going to suck. But when they said, hey, we're going to try and win, yeah, I think they are trying to win. And they're 2-6. That's the concern right now. Like, this is not an organization that's tanking per se, at least not yet this season. And they're 2-6, and they just got blown out by a team that had, what, a top with the seventh pick in last year's draft? The fourth pick. They had one pick ahead of you after the trade down with Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's not good. And I think Miles knows. He knows it's not good. I was kind of surprised, though, how Mary Kay really put an emphasis on how upset Miles was. Mm-hmm. And it's like, again, that part isn't surprising. Miles gets upset often. But the idea that this time it felt just a little bit different. And I don't know. Are we going to have this Miles now for the rest of the season where he's just going to be angry and yell about things and how unjust this all is? We might. And then I feel like this offseason is going to turn into exactly what it was last offseason.
I did say yesterday Sunday felt a little performative. If Miles doesn't see an end game here, I can see Miles making it very uncomfortable while games he's got three sacks in, he's stomping around on the sidelines. That I don't know that that's initially I thought maybe that's a message to you guys, right? I think it might be more of a message to the guys who lead this team. And I think that's maybe his way, right? Making it uncomfortable like Micah Parsons did.
Which worked for Micah Parsons. It did. And for a while it worked for Miles until he signed the $40 million deal.
216-474-0092. Should the Browns reconsider trading Myles Garrett? If they actually care about Myles as a person and you don't think you're going to win next year, and it might not be till 2027 or 2028, yes, you should. This might be the time to do the right thing. Now, here's the problem. They're not going to do it because they don't really care about Myles and what Myles wants. They care about themselves, which is pretty much how the NFL works. Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel Beef, maybe, leads off Quick Hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
92.3 The Fan has the most local sports talk in town, and you can be a part of it anytime you want. Weigh in on X.
And it is 2:40 on a beautiful Tuesday here in Cleveland. It's time for Quick Hits.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, JP, Shedeur Sanders liked an Instagram post of a local reporter that called for him to play after the bye week against the Jets. Is this a bad look for Shedeur?
I don't think it's a bad look, but I do think it's interesting. I think it's interesting because a lot of younger people speak through what they like and use a like as an endorsement, and clearly Shedeur feels like it's his time to start. Feels like he's better than Dylan Gabriel, and he should be the one out there.
I don't think it's a bad look. I think this kind of stuff was harder hitting like 10 years ago. I think we've come to mean it's just like you're allowed to like whatever the hell you want. It does, in my opinion, though, you and I have, I think, been on top of the fact that I really don't know that Shedeur and Dylan like each other. Now, it doesn't matter in terms of, you know, who wins, who any of that, or who plays. Mm-hmm. But I do think this is another bit of evidence that there's some sort of divide between those two young men.
Yeah, which think about the situation that they're in. Like, wouldn't it be really hard to like that person anyway? Like, both taken in the same draft, both vying for the same opportunities, both, like, I think that'd be incredibly hard to like that person in general anyway.
I mean, I think it happens more than you realize in the NFL. I'll be honest with you, if there's some sort of disconnect there, even if they're both still being professional doing their job, I kind of put it on the coaching staff. Because from Shador's side, I would understand if he has a perception that Dylan's the chosen one and he's not.
Yeah.
And that's
And meanwhile,
that's
the chosen
side.
One is struggling right now.
And from Dylan's side of things, he's the chosen one and doesn't like the attention that Shedeur gets. I would understand if either of those guys felt that way.
No, yeah. Both sides have an equal gripe. No doubt about it.
Now, real quick, Johnny on Twitter saying that we talked about trading Miles without mentioning the dead cap hit. And he criticizes us. So for everybody that heard the first two segments talking about trading Miles and how that would be possible after this year, can you walk them through?
Yeah, I don't know who is just putting this out there that it's not possible. It's very possible. You just have to go to the
Johnny Bean Goodberry.
You have to go to the furthest part of this, and you have to use the trade of a post June 1st one designation. And for this upcoming year, if you did the post June 1st designation, it'd be a $15.5 million dead cap hit, $11 million the next year, eight then four. So it's very reasonable. It's like a third of the amount of money that you're doing for a dead cap hit on Deshaun Watson. $15 million is not cheap. It's not something that most teams would be happy to swallow, but that is very, very reasonable. Now, if you do it at any other context, if you do a trade pre June 1st, okay? So even when we're talking about like a trade for this upcoming week, for instance, that is $60 million off the rip and then $40 million the following year. That's where you're into uncharted territory and stuff you can't really get out of in many ways. If you do just a straight-up cut in either direction, that also is an absorbent and very high dead cap hit. But the post-June 1st trade is not. It's very reasonable.
That's for you, Jenny Bean.
Omaha!
I'm just getting mad at Daryl now. Daryl's the one that's perpetuating this. I saw the headline of the Ken and Anthony show this morning, and the headline was, Miles' contract is untradeable. And it's like, no, it's not. And I'm sitting there yelling about it. I see Vima tweeting out there earlier today, if it's untradeable, Andrew Berry should be fired. It's not untradeable. Also, another nugget on this, by the way the NFL contracts work, if both parties do agree, you can restructure it any way you want. Mm. Unless you're up to a third-year player in the NFL and you're on your rookie contract, that you can't do. But as long as both teams do agree, you can restructure it literally any way you want to.
Mm. Which means it could happen this week. Just saying.
Yes, in theory. Yes, you're right. Yeah. In theory, yes. If Miles wanted out that badly, yes, he could give up some of the money and the guaranteed money, and you could get away out of it. Yes, you could.
Honestly, if Miles did it, I might respect him a little bit more. I would hate it. I would absolutely hate it. I know I've been critical of Miles. I love watching that guy as a football player. As a person, sometimes some of the stuff he does drives me crazy. I love the football player, and I actually think secretly he is kind of a brilliant dude, but like, I would respect that. I would understand drawing a line in the sand and using whatever power you have right now in the moment to do it.
It would be unprecedented to do it that way, but Miles would do so with the idea that whatever team is signing him is going to give it all right back.
Hmm.
And so, like, it's not as crazy as you think from that perspective.
Think about this. Jacksonville gives you their 27 and 28 first and Brian Thomas Jr.
I'm going to assume he's not going to do all this stuff to go to Jacksonville. I'm just going to make an assumption out there. I think Jacksonville's probably his no-fly zone.
Why?
Because of Trevor Lawrence.
That too.
Probably a good enough reason.
Yeah, because he's not very good.
Duval.
Oh, yeah, Liam Cohen. Well, that'd be a weirdo.
You want to speak into an empty existence. Let's go to Jacksonville. You can't even complain loud enough.
Liam Cohen, Trevor Lawrence, and Myles Garrett together. That just sounds miserable, just if you say it out loud.
Oh, I can already just feel it for Miles. All right. Did you watch Game 3 of the World Series? That was a big contention earlier today around the station.
I watched about 6 innings through various parts of the game.
Yeah, I had it up the entire night, but I did have main TV priority to the Chiefs game, and then around the 7th inning or so, right before Ohtani hit the game-tying home run, that's when it got main TV. The Chiefs game ended up boring me. We'll get to that a little bit later on. And then I made it to about the 10th inning or so, about midnight, I had to call it. Now, past me would have stayed up the entire way, but I couldn't because I have a child, 2 children now, and I just need sleep when I need sleep.
I fell asleep with it on my bedroom TV in like the 12th inning, woke up like an hour later, I think, and it was like the 17th inning, and I was like, well, I got to watch to the end of the game now, right?
That's kind of fun, yeah.
Like
yeah.
I can't remember which flyout it was of Freddie Freeman that looked like a home run, and after that, it was like the traditional, And then I started falling back asleep, and then then I woke up again like the 17th inning.
9 times Shohei Ohtani reached base in Game 3. He had the 2 home runs, he had the 2 doubles, and then they just started intentionally walking him a bunch because they realized that they weren't going to let Ohtani beat him. Was this the Shohei Ohtani game for the ages?
It was, and I think they need to limit intentional walks in baseball games because you shouldn't be able to walk the best player on the planet 4 times.
Limit intentional walks? Like you only get an X amount of number in a game? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, per hitter. You can only intentionally walk somebody once a game.
Oh, now this is strategy. I like strategy in these type of games. I do. I don't hate this idea. Now, Barry Bonds would have just a fit because he probably should have hit about 20 more home runs easily if they hadn't done that to him back in the day. But like that's an interesting wrinkle.
Think about it. It is the biggest moment in sports. Or sorry, in baseball. It is the fall classic that's now basically played the winter. But it's the fall classic. And 4 times the best player on the planet has come up with a chance to win the game. And it's fair that Toronto did it, and they were like, okay, move them over. Like, that's not in the spirit of baseball.
And it also takes your best player and part of the game that's the most exciting is watching Ohtani hit and just removes it.
In extra innings. You're already punishing us by playing 18 innings. The least you could do is throw to the guy.
You know, this is not a conventional baseball thought at all, but I'm very much co-signing this thought. I like this one. This is a good idea. Is this a... How soon could we put this in is the problem.
Tonight?
I need it for game four. While as Ohtani pitches tonight, I need them to put this thing in.
Yeah, it's just...
I don't know that they're going to pitch to Ohtani the rest of the series.
That's essentially what John Schneider said was, yeah, expect to see more of it. And I was like, again, I can't be mad at him. He's just doing the right thing by the rules of baseball now. But the idea that this is happening, and by the way, the idea that you're walking Ohtani so you can face Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, you kind of get what you deserve anyway with Freeman walking your ass off. But I'm not mad at John Schneider, but this is a loophole in baseball that needs closed.
Okay.
Omaha! Nebraska gearing up for USC this weekend, and Huskers head coach Matt Rhule had high praise for Trojans head coach Lincoln Riley.
He's a great guy, first of all, a brilliant offensive mind. He's going to score no matter what. But also, you know, I divide college coaches up into two categories. Guys, if I see them, you know, at a bar or a restaurant that I would, and they don't see me, that I'd walk in and say hello to, and guys I just keep walking past. And Lincoln Riley's a guy I'd go sit down with. So I think he's an awesome guy and a great coach.
I think we should decipher all people and all walks of life into this. So give me one college coach you'd sit down with and have a beer with, and give me one coach you'd walk right past.
All right, I'd walk past Dabo.
Really?
Yeah.
He's actually awesome.
I heard he's really nice.
When you're not doing the public thing, he's actually awesome.
I've heard he's really nice. No, thank you. Actually, I'm going to add an additional here too. I'd walk past PJ Fleck. I think people love him in a way that I find nauseating.
Why?
And I think the fact that he wears. It's a nod to Tressel. I get it, but you're not Tressel, okay? It
just comes off a little bit. I think he's cosplaying.
A little bit too much of a tryhard. You brought row the boat from one spot to the next. Like, there's a lot about PJ Fleck.
He created it.
That I just don't. I know. I just don't vibe with it. We've that in the past. Don't bring that to Minnesota. There's something about him that just annoys me. Just okay. I just get annoyed by PJ Fleck constantly.
Okay.
Not a fan in the slightest bit. Who I would have a beer with?
Yeah.
This will come as a surprise because I just called this one person a tryhard and this the other. Screw it. I'm not going to say Marcus Freeman. I was going to say Marcus Freeman, not Marcus Freeman. Brent Venables. So I'm going to go at Dabo,
so Dabo
and say no.
Acolyte.
But the disciple of Dabo is who I'm going to drink with.
Out of spite? Are you getting the beer with Brent Venables as spite?
Basically, I just feel like he is the right mixture of definitely going to pay for the tab. That's not even debatable. Like, he's just always going to reach for the tab, but also seems like he'd just be chill with not saying a lot of words and just kind of hanging out, and I kind of like that.
All right, I will say I will get a beer with Matt Rhule. I think I'm going to have to pass on, Pat Narduzzi. Mm. He's just a little too serious for me. Like, I feel like the whole point on have a couple beers with somebody is that by like the third beer, you relax and you're yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like Pat Narduzzi, no matter how many he has, is still just Pat Narduzzi. And I just don't think he's a good hang. I think he's a bad guy. I just think he's a good hang.
Yeah.
Ooh. Omaha! Nope, not going to do it.
Oh, come on. Nope. I threw like seven out there.
I was going to do Scott Satterfield of Cincinnati.
You're right. That makes no sense.
Because I loved him at App State. And then I watched him at like Louisville and Cincinnati. I'm like, oh, you're just the guy that kind of jumps from place to place. And kind of just, you jump right before you get fired. You're not really that good of a football coach. Nothing personal, though. I just don't want to have a beer with you.
The future is now in New Orleans, apparently. That's the headline. Tyler Shuck is going to be the starter. Spencer Rattler.
Oh, shucks. That should be the headline.
Well, as so many people... People mispronouncing Tyler Shuck's name is always funny to me.
Show, I've seen that.
It's like they do it every way but Tyler Shuck, which makes sense because it shouldn't be pronounced Tyler Shuck. You shouldn't spell it that way and then pronounce it the way that he does. Rattler, I thought, was actually having a pretty decent season until the past couple weeks. Then he just started throwing interceptions.
You know, though, God's got a great sense of humor putting a guy named Shuck with a name spelled like that in Cajun territory. You can just imagine the callers to Sports Talk Radio are just hilarious.
Oh, it would be miserable.
Oh, they just like.
Did he just say that? No, he said Shuck. He said, I'm sure he said Shuck.
In fairness, we butcher Quinshon Judkins. So I don't know. We have a lot of room to talk.
Oh, we don't. People here do, though.
It was like a royal we. I was trying not to be a complete D about it.
I still don't know where
correct.
That comes from, though. I don't understand where the N comes from for people.
I don't know how we could. I don't know how we can mess up Holmgren, though. It said right. It was said right on national television for 30 years before he got here.
Yeah. That's kind of embarrassing. I don't know.
Shucks.
I care about names, I guess. You think he's going to be good?
No, I did. He's 75 years old.
He is 75. He's also 6'5" too. He's a massive human.
He does have a nice arm though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Comparative to Dylan Gabriel.
Well, we're gonna be the same age. Saying a lot of people have a nice arm comparative to Dylan Gabriel.
By the way, Big Mike's weigh about 75 times on the YouTube stream has said boycott the Browns. So I think Big Mike's weigh. Would like Big Mike's way to be us boycotting the Browns.
That's I can't see it unless it's a super chat, buddy.
Yeah, I look at that. Oh, I like what you're doing there, little. I see what you're doing there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.